गगनरञ्जना यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बलवा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन बलवा गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बलवा गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे जय किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय जगन्नाथ जगन्नाथ बलदेवा जय सुभद्रा जय गौरनिताय 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 जय गौरनिताय जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिवाजक आचार्य श्रुतोषत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शीला प्रभुपाद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू गुरु एंड गौरंगा थैंक यू ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जये मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी हरे कृष्णा सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 2 एंटाइटल्ड प्रेयर्स बाय द डेमीगॉड्स एंड वी आर ऑन टेक्स्ट नंबर 25 ब्रह्मा भावश्च तत्रेत्या ब्रह्मा भावश्च तत्रेता मुनिभिर्नारदादिभिः देवे सनुचर्य साकम् गिर्भिर्वृषणाम् ऐद्यान् ब्रह्मा भवश्च तत्रेत्या मुनिभिर्नारदादिभिः देवे सनुचरे साकम् गिर्भिर्वृषणाम् ऐद्यान् ब्रह्मा भवश्च तत्रेता मुनि भीर नारद विभि देव्या सनुचरे सकाम गिर्भिर वृष्णाम एद्यान ब्रह्मा भवश्च तेत्रेता मुनि भीर नारदा देवी देव्यासनुचरे शाकं गिर्भिर विष्णाम एद्यान ब्रह्मा भवश्च तेत्रेता मुनिभिर नारदादिभि देव्या सनुचरे साकं गिरिभिर विष्णामे ध्यान ब्रह्मा भवश्च तेत्रेता मुनिभिर नारदादिभि देव्या सनुचरे साकं गिर्भिर विष्णामे ध्यान ब्रह्मा द सुप्रीम फोर हेडेड डेमी गॉड भव च एंड लॉर्ड शिवा तात्रा देयर एत्या अराइविंग मुनि भी Accompanied by great sages, Narada Adibi, by Narada and others, Deva, and by demigods like Indra, Chandra, and Varuna. Sa Anucharya, with their followers, Sakam, all together, Girbihi, by their transcendental prayers, Vrishnam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bestow blessings upon everyone. Adhyan, pleased. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Jai Jai. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, accompanied by great sages like Narada, Devala, and Vyasa, and by other demigods like Indra, Chandra, and Varuna, invisibly approached the room of Devaki, where they all joined in offering their respectful obeisances and prayers to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bestow blessings upon everyone. Purport. Dho bhuta sargav lokesmin deva asura evacha. This is from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, text number 6. There are two classes of men, the devas and the asuras, and there is a great difference between them. Kansa, being an asura, was always planning how to kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his mother Devaki. Thus, he was also Krishna conscious. But devotees are Krishna conscious favorably. Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Deve. Brahma is so powerful that he is in charge of creating an entire universe. Yet he personally came to receive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhava, Lord Shiva, is always jubilant in chanting the holy name of the Lord. And what to speak of Narada? Narada Muni Bajaye Veena Radhika Raman Name. Narada Muni is always chanting the glories of the Lord, and his engagement is to travel all over the universe and find a devotee or make someone a devotee. Even a hunter was made a devotee by the grace of Narada. Srila Sanatana Goswami in his Toshni says that the word Narada Adidibi means that Narada and the demigods were accompanied by other saintly persons like Shanaka and Sanatana, all of whom came to congratulate or welcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though Kansa was planning to kill Devaki, he too awaited the arrival of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. परितक्ष्णांस्तज जन्मा। ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंधस्या ज्ञानंजना शलाकया चक्षुरन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यः एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो ट्रांसलेशन वन मोर टाइम। लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा एंड लॉर्ड शिवा अकंपनीड बाय ग्रेट सेजेस लाइक नारद देवल एंड व्यास एंड बाय अदर डेमिगॉड्स लाइक इंद्र चंद्रा एंड वरुणा इनविजिबली अप्रोच द रूम ऑफ देवकी where they all joined in offering their respectful obeisances and prayers to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bestow blessings upon everyone. So we have been reading how when Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth, approached Lord Brahma and the demigods about the demons and people with demonic propensity were trampling the earth. So Lord Brahma together with other demigods, they approached the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and explained the difficulty Bhumi Devi was facing. And being a compassionate person, the Lord promised that he would come himself and he will destroy all these so-called demons and people with demonic propensity, so that there could be the religion, the principles of religion could be re-established on earth. So we also read in the previous few verses how Krishna actually entered the womb of Devaki. It is really something amazing. If you try to tell this thing something like this to a doctor, he will have hard time to understand it. That how Vasudev's mind and heart the Lord was residing, and how he was transferred in the womb of Devaki. So this kind of a transplantation or transmigration is not heard of in medical science ever. So Devaki had the Supreme Personality of Godhead residing in her. And yesterday we heard about how Kansa was behaving in such situations. He, on the face of it, he wanted to say that he is not afraid of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet he was very, very anxious. And we heard that whatever he was doing in all his activities, he was always thinking of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada instructs us to always remember Krishna and never forget him. So here we had a very classical example where Kansa was actually following those instructions. Not for a moment he would forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there is a great difference. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport of text number 25 that there are two classes of men, the Devas and the Asuras. So even though Kansa was thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead always, there was a great difference between the way he was remembering Krishna and the way a devotee would remember a Krishna. So a devotee would remember Krishna favorably. As a matter of fact, even sometimes a person may do certain activities which may categorize as bhakti, but he is doing them unintentionally. So he will get the credits for that, he will get the sukriti, but it will not be as if he was doing them intentionally. On the other hand, If a person, if a devotee is engaging in the some activities which are devotional in nature, even if he may not be doing them correctly, they will still classify as bhakti, because the intention, the intent behind those activities is the service at the lotus feet of the Lord. The other differentiation, Prabhupada reminds us again and again and again in purports, his purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, is the main difference between the devas and the asuras. So in Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord himself describes the qualities of a devotee, and also then he explains to Arjun about the qualities of demons. So those are given in detail. We have discussed that in several times. But one of the main, if we say, the differentiation between these two categories is that the devas, they are is the shastric injunctions, basically. So devas, they follow the shastric injunctions, and asuras, they do not have any respect for shastric injunctions. Then the other one is that devas are always pro Vishnu, or they're always trying to please Vishnu. They accept him as the supreme personality of Godhead, whereas asuras, they somehow or the other are inimical towards Lord Vishnu. And though Kansa has been always thinking of Krishna, but he is thinking with that mentality. So all what he was doing, we still cannot categorize it as bhakti. So that was one part which we had been reading so far. Then in this particular verse, we hear that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, several demigods, and great sages like Narad, Devala, Vyasa, they all came to pray on the arrival of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see in Srimad Bhagavatam that all these great devotees, from time to time, they pray at the lotus feet of the Lord. And so that made me think that why prayer is so important for a devotee. So we all always hear that we should pray to the Lord, we should save our prayers and so on. So when I was preparing, then I tried to do a little bit more, I tried to read a little bit more about the importance of prayers in our lives. And it is interesting what I found. I would like to share with you. So it says that prayer is a way to associate directly with the Lord. Now, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and these other great Vaishnavas, they were all there because they got that opportunity to, come and pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one reason why they were praying to Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to ask. And I felt that though these great devotees, they are always thinking of Krishna, they always do not get the opportunity to participate in his leelas. Especially the Bal Leela, Krishna, they are participating in some of the leelas of Krishna, some of the pastimes, but this is a unique opportunity where Krishna is going to be taking birth and he will be there as a child. So all of them wanted to have that opportunity to associate with Krishna when he is there on this planet as a baby, as a child. Then we make prayers, we say our prayers in different ways, and some of the things which we do is we often do is make request to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think everybody who enters our temple or any temple has always some request to make. And generally those requests are in the form of some, we want something. So it is said that there's nothing wrong in asking the Lord for some favors, but as we grow in our devotional life, what we ask for changes. So in the beginning, a person coming to the temple may be asking for different kind of material benefits, material favors, but as one grows in Krishna consciousness, the nature changes, and then one is asking more for the service, how one could serve at the lotus feet of the Lord. And I think practically all of us here in this room, we are chanting 16 rounds or more than 16 rounds every day. And what is this chanting? If you look at it, that's also a prayer. We are praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to engage us in His service. That's what we are doing when we are chanting our rounds. Then we have also seen in other prayers by great devotees like Prahlad that we thank Krishna for whatever He has provided us. We thank Krishna for all His blessings. So that is another way of praying to the Lord. We glorify the personality, we glorify the activities of the Lord in His prayers. And our scriptures say that by discussing these things, by reading about pastimes of the Lord, by glorifying His activities, by glorifying His personality, we are, it helps us in purification of our heart. Over a period of time, if we are doing it on a regular basis, we are associating with devotees and discussing Krishna Katha, it helps us in our purification. And in this process, it also helps us to chant better. To chant better means to pray in a much better way to the Lord. And in these ways, by making requests, by thanking their lordships, the devotees, they are rejoicing the Lord's company. And this is also, the prayers are also an expression of love towards God. So that means the potency of prayer is very, very strong. There is so much we can do by prayers. Then another important aspect of prayer is to keep us humble. Now, often it happens that at certain stage we become very proud. In Sanskrit, the word is ahankar. We feel I am so smart, I am so powerful that I am the one who is doing everything. And that brings a lot of arrogance and unnecessary pride, which could be the cause of the downfall. So by praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead on a regular basis, we are also reminding ourselves that I am just an instrument. I do not have any, you know, inherent qualifications to achieve or achieve a lot of things which I might have done. But every day when I pray to the Lord, He provides me enough knowledge, He provides me intelligence, He gives me strength to do certain activities and be instrument in doing those activities. So the prayers are accomplishing a very important purpose in the life of a devotee, which is to remain humble. We see Prabhupada mentioned several times in his classes about the prayers which are there in Srimad Bhagavatam, and specifically he talks about the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was such a great devotee, and when he got the opportunity to be face to face with the Lord, the prayers which he said are so nice and worth going through. Then we also had prayers of Kunti Maharani. She's also glorifying the Lord, and she is even inviting distress so that one she could always remember Krishna. So by reading such prayers, we get to learn how we can connect, how we can associate directly with the Lord in whatever capacity we are, in whatever stage we might be, in whatever ashram we might be, but still it gives us the opportunity to directly associate with the Lord. Then the other interesting things which I found in this purport, or when I was preparing, is I'm going back to the qualities and qualifications of devyas and asuras. So before, this is interesting, before we became devotees, what were we? Or we were demons. And you know, it is so interesting that, you know, this is another way of knowing the difference between a devotee or aspiring devotee or a demon. In that demonic life, what we are trying to do, we are just specializing in collecting anarthas, correct? If you go to that world, the more anarthas a person has collected, greater he is, isn't it? So, and then we have been fortunate that we came in contact with some devotee who blessed us, and we somehow realized that that's not the right path for us, and the purpose of our life is something else. And then we are gradually working on getting rid of those anarthas. And so I'm just linking that how we are getting rid of those anarthas. That is by praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord fulfills all our prayers, the Lord listens to our prayers, and based on our qualifications and based on our, you can say, karmas, He will surely fulfill them. There's another interesting thing about fulfilling the prayers. Our Acharya says that one has to be extremely careful when praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because He is Bhakta Vatsalya. He is going to, He is so compassionate that He is going to fulfill our desires, but He is going to fulfill our desires at His terms and conditions. That is the important part, because we often, like I said in the beginning, that we come to the temple, we have our list of demands, we have prayers. If that is a nice word to use, instead of saying list of demands, we can use the word prayers. And we say those prayers and we want Lord to immediately reciprocate. He reciprocates, but at His terms and conditions. So number of times we might feel, we'll see that certain things are happening in our life, and we may complain that why something like this is happening to me. I never asked for it. I don't deserve it. But I forget that this is what I asked for. A very good example which I heard was about somebody who wanted to be a great swimmer. And you know, that was his very strong desire, that I should be one of the, you know, good swimmers in the world. So Krishna fulfilled his desire. In the next lifetime, that person became a fish. So he was always in the water, always swimming from one place to the other. He could swim miles and miles without getting tired. So Krishna fulfilled the desire of that person, but at his terms and conditions. So we are, that's why Srila Prabhupada is recommending and instructing us to read the prayers of devotees who have been serving at the lotus feet of the Lord, and devotees who are very dear to the Lord. So Prabhupada says that we can chant the same prayers if we want, or we can even make our own prayers to serve the Supreme Personality. And but again, as I said, we have to be extremely careful that what we are asking for. And that is also another distinction which will differentiate a new devotee, a neophyte, and a devotee who is elevated. Because this is what was also indicated in discussion between Prahlad and Narasimhadev. When Narasimhadev wanted to give benediction to Prahlad, he said that my asking something from you will be like a commercial transaction, which shouldn't be there between a master and the servant. So the nature of our prayers should be such that we ask for services, we ask for opportunities which will help us to grow in our devotional life, and that way we can be free from all, we may not land into that trap of asking for those material benefits which can really be cause of miseries for us in future. So if we are a little bit careful, we can really get the blessings and benedictions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me see if I have anything else to share. Yeah, so I think I'll stop here and request for comments, corrections, questions.
You know, you'd posed the question, Radha Raman Prabhu, you know, what was one prior to becoming a devotee? So the question I want to ask based on that first line in the purport is that a distinction is made between the demoniac person and the, I guess, more inclined towards divinity person. So if that's the case, it seems there's a delineation between the two. As opposed to transitioning from one nature into a different nature. The natures are different. So if you want to share your thoughts, what you were thinking or what your understanding is.
So can you just repeat it?
The question is it a case of there's a distinct difference between being a deva or an asura by nature, or is it that actually one is transitioning from a demoniac nature into a more godly nature? Is it not that one is by nature in falling into a particular category and remains within that category?
Okay. So let me repeat it so that a person with demonic qualities or propensity would transit or transition to the other side.
That's one aspect. If one accepts that, in fact, one can do so, my question is, is it not that, based on that first line in the purport, there's a distinct difference between having either a demoniac nature or a divine nature? So is it possible that such a transition can happen if the delineation is very sharp between the two kinds of natures? That's the question.
Okay. So the transition, of course, happens, and we see, we have several examples how this happens, and then we can go a little bit more into that. What we hear from our acharyas and Srila Prabhupada is that the association of a devotee is very, very important for us to, for anybody for that matter, to change their thought process. So we have several examples where people who were engaged in sinful activities on a regular basis, they, when they came in contact with a great devotee of the Lord, and here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Narad, they were transformed. So that is one aspect, like you said. Now, I would request others to maybe respond if you would like to say something about the second part of her question. You would like to say something? Yeah, here. Prabhu.
Thank you. As you say, that associations of the devotees, and then follow their instructions. Mm-hmm. Just like in Narad Muni's case, when he asked the hunter, just sit place one place and just chant Ram's name, and he did that, and then he became Valmiki Rishi. So similarly, even Prabhupada's case, so many devotees, they were before, they were all sinful, and then they become devotees, pure devotees. And there are so many other examples also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The association of the pure devotee, their blessings, and then if somebody follows their instruction very carefully, then a transform can come. If not, then it's always a problem, because the demoniac nature means the activities of that person is demoniac, and that's how they become demoniac. The more they perform those kind of sinful activities, their nature becomes demoniac. And because they have constant that nature, every time, every birth, they come up with that same nature. But nature can be, that bad nature can be relieved from that position only by the blessings of a pure devotee. So that's why even Prahlad Maharaj says in the Bhagavatam, 7th canto, that unless one smear his hair with the dust of a pure devotee, it cannot happen. Similarly, he is talking about his father, that how you become a devotee, and then he mentioned that, because unless one smear his head with the dust of a pure devotee, this thing doesn't happen. So the main thing is association of the pure devotee has to be there, and then carefully see what instruction he gives, and also carefully see what our activities are. Our activities are related with the Lord or related with Maya.
Thank you. Gajari Prabhu, you want to add something?
I have a question. Okay.
But he wants to add. So you want... No? Okay. Yes. You want to add to what? Okay. Then I think let her say it first, and then you can ask the question. Thank you.
Thank you for the class. I just wanted to mention that also prayers also help a person a lot, because if we are born in Kali Yuga, we are all born with some proportion of demoniac activities. Nobody is like a devta, and especially because that is, I think, written in Bhagavatam, that in Kali Yuga people will be born of like sinful tendencies or demoniac nature. So like the Paramatma is sitting within and he is guiding everybody all the time. So if we pray to the Paramatma within or to Krishna, then he will every step of the way guide us in transforming our nature from like demoniac to like divine nature. Because it is like Prabhuji said, that it is a constant effort, not a one-time thing that a person is endowed with. Even if a person is endowed with divine nature, then because of the influence of Kali Yuga, we will all be affected by modes of nature, and so that will that will have a lot of effect on even the most divine nature of a person, and he has to continuously struggle with those modes of nature by praying to God and by like introspection, and that will only lead one to more divine nature, which is like not a one-time thing, but it is like every day we have to struggle with it only by prayers and by seeking blessings of Paramatma within the heart.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts. There's another interesting thing which I heard in this context, is that the activities in which we engage has a lot of impact on us. Now, for example, I hear this question number of times, that I eat meat, so can't I be a devotee? And then the answer given was that a devotee is compassionate by nature. We hear that, one of the param dharam of a devotee is that par sukha sukhi, par dukha dukhi. When he is only happy when others around him are happy. If others around him are in distress, he is also not happy at all. But now, if I eat meat, I can never be compassionate. Because by eating, we say, we have been having our Sunday feast classes also, that you are what you eat. Correct? I think one of the previous, last Sunday or Sunday before that, that was a very, very, the theme of the class. So if I am eating other animals, I can never be compassionate. So same way, the other activities which I would be engaging in are really going to take me more in mode of darkness rather than bringing me in, uplifting me. So we have to make certain sacrifices, if I may use that word, or we may have to change our way of living if we have to make progress in our devotional life. Yes, Kirdhari Prabhu.
I'm wondering about praying for within service, to serve a certain way. If you were like not necessarily ready to just be like whatever you want me to do, I'll do that, like on that level of surrender, but more so we have a nature and want to engage it, so we pray like I want to live on a farm and serve in that way. And can we pray like to Krishna, like, this is how I would like to serve you, and at this time, is that an appropriate prayer? Is it not?
Okay. So there are two aspects of your question. One is that I want to serve, or I want to do the service which I like, which is good, and it is nice, because something which we like, we will do it better. This is natural in any circumstances. But the other aspect, which is also very important, especially in the life of a devotee, is the austerity. Now, we often hear, we talk about austerity in our life, that, the life of a person living in the ashram is very austere, or, I have to undergo a lot of austerities and things like that. So when I was trying to understand the meaning of austerity, it is very interesting. Austerity doesn't always mean that it is something which is, you are in some kind of a difficult situation, or it is not very favorable circumstances, etc. So, and austerity for two different persons will mean different things. For example, for a person who is used to sleeping on the floor, if you offer him a nice, comfortable bed, he will not get any sleep in that. And that's an austerity for him, because he is used to certain things, and you are making him do something which is totally different, which is just the opposite of that. So that will be an austerity for him. And vice versa, that a person who is used to sleeping on comfortable bed, if he is to sleep on the floor, he will not get any sleep. So we are talking of the similar situation, but the austerity, each person in austerity, the person who is being offered a very comfortable bed, which he is not used to, is an austerity for him. So we have to, all of us also have to undergo some part of some austerity also. So I will be happy to do the services which I like, but I should also be ready to step forward in case I am needed elsewhere. The services which I may or may not like, sometimes I may have to step forward and assist there as well. And in a situation like ours, we have possibilities to discuss our nature, our preferences with our superiors, and accordingly we can work out that what would be the services I should be engaged in. And another aspect, Prabhu, is that our superiors, there may be certain things which I am lacking in my personality. And there may be certain things which I might need to do, I must do, in order to improve my sadhana, in order to improve, in order to make some progress in my behavior, in my, relationships and things like that. And our superiors can guide us, they may engage us in a service which will be helpful for us in these aspects. For example, we were talking just now about association. Now, in material world, they give the example of a badminton. You know badminton play, badminton game, ping pong, let's say ping pong. Okay, one plays it on its own. And the other sport could be, say, soccer. So in soccer, it is very important to play in a team. You are one among the 11 players of the team, and everybody has to contribute and everybody has to support the other player. If you want to play on your own, and in the soccer term it is used, selfish game, your team will never win. So so depending on that situation, suppose I lack that qualification, I lack that quality of being a good member of the team, then my superiors will engage me in services where I learn to interact with others, where I learn how to be a important member or how to contribute when I am working as part of a team. So we have to look at, when we are being assigned a service, when we are being given a service, we have to look from both the aspects, and that will help us to make improvement, make progress in our devotional life. And one other aspect which I have also heard is that when it is important and it is nice to do certain things which we don't like. I would like to share one incident which happened here in our temple in the kitchen. We had our young youth, group. They were here and they said they will work in the kitchen. So the temple president asked one devotee, so what would you like to do? Would you like to wash pots or cut vegetables? So he said, I would like to cut vegetables. So he said, then go and wash pots. So that means that was a learning lesson for him, I hope, and also for me, that one doesn't always get what one wants. One should be also ready to step forward and do things which I may not like. Jitendra Prabhu had his hand up before you.
My understanding was karma yoga is, Prabhupada would say, what would you like to do for Krishna? And the devotee said, well, I like to, plant flowers or, book distribution. Prabhupada said, very nice, And then, but I understood that bhakti yoga is doing what the spiritual master wants you to do, even if you don't want to do it. So I don't know, have you heard that before?
Yes. Thank you so much for putting this in such a nice way. Thank you.
Here's the last 10 minutes.
Same responses. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class. On my comment and question, well, I had two, but I'll probably forget this since we're running out of time. But you were mentioning when we pray to Krishna, we treat him like a genie for unlimited, not just three wishes, unlimited wishes we ask him for. And basically, that one, it kind of reminds me of the Dhruva Maharaj passing. Well, basically in the Gita, Krishna says, Ahamsa Rasya Prabhavo Mata Sarvam Pravartate Iti Matsua Bhajate Ma Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. He says, I'm the power source of everything. And those who are wise, Buddha, intelligent, then they'll connect to me. We see that a computer is attractive when it's connected to its power source and unattractive when it's disconnected from its power source. So in the Dhruva Maharaj pastime, he got insulted by his stepmother. And in order to get revenge, because his father didn't defend him, so in order to get revenge, he says, you know, mommy, his real mom, I want a kingdom bigger than my father. I want this, I want that. Da-da-da-da-da. He had a whole Christmas list. And so then his mother said, go to the forest and, you know, pray to the Lord. So finally, when he went to the forest, prayed to the Lord, finally, he was, you know, in deep meditation. The Lord appeared to him. And so the Lord says, so what is your Christmas list? What do you want? So then he saw the Lord. He was like, wow, you're so beautiful, all attractive. You know, now that I'm connected to you, you know, I don't want anything. I'm just happy with Yogi Namapi Sarvesham Magatin Antar Atmana. Mm-hmm. And so the lesson I got from this Dhruva Maharaj pastime, that even if we're connected to the Lord, then even if we're not given anything, we're still satisfied. On the other hand, if we're not connected to the Lord, then even if we're given everything, we're still dissatisfied. Hirani Kashipu had 99% ownership of the universe, but only one thing went wrong. Prahlad didn't say, accept him as God, and that was enough to take his happiness. And so my question is regarding one last point. Prabhupada says that all our opulences are like zero. You know, if you write a million zeros on a check, it'll still be zero. But if you put one in front of it, it's worth something. So to the degree we put Krishna first in our life, then all our opulence means something. So how in devotional life are we supposed to know whether we're putting Krishna, or how do we know that we're not fooling ourselves that we're putting Krishna first in our life? Otherwise, why is there so much complaining about others if we're really putting Krishna in our life first? Why is there so much dissatisfaction?
Nice question. So, a question was asked once that how do I know whether I'm making progress in my devotional life? I'm just answering your question in this way. And the answer given by one of the speakers here was that if my desire for material possessions and material benefits is going down slowly, and, you know, I'm not so much interested in those physical, gratifications, and more interested in doing the service. Now, the service has different aspects. That is an indication that I might be making some progress in my devotional life. So, and that is the indication which you, as you very nicely explained, with the example of Dhruva Maharaj, that before he came in contact, before he knew what bhakti was, he was only looking for physical or material benefits. That's what he started with. And in my today's presentation, I also said that when in the beginning a person is entering a temple, he is making different kind of demands when he comes in front of their lordships. But as one gradually progresses, grows in Krishna consciousness, grows in devotional life, the nature of his prayer will change. And as we grow, as we make progress, we will the nature of our demands will be more that how do I make more progress in my spiritual life, how do I serve you, rather than I want a better quality car or I want a bigger house. So that is the difference. Like Srila Prabhupada says very clearly that everybody who comes is going to ask for something, but what they are going to ask is the distinguishing, you know, is the distinction that whether it is at what level one is. You know, if you have to use a yardstick, like in every field, there are exams, there are tests, there are quizzes, and they test the knowledge of the person in that particular subject. So for us, the yardstick is my attraction for those material benefits, material possessions going down or becoming more. And that could really help us in understanding our own nature. We don't even have to go to ask. We don't have to go to somebody and ask that, you know, how do I realize whether I am where I am? I mean, we can decide that ourselves in a very simple, with this very simple test. Yes,
Jitendra Prabhu. Yes, I was heard something as far as material and spiritual. People are trying to enjoy the material, but they can't really enjoy it because they're higher than that material nature. So their real happiness is spiritual. Have you heard that before?
No, I heard that the permanent happiness is not there in the, you know, material enjoyment.
Because the mind is always accepting and rejecting. Yeah. We're taking this thing, we're trying to enjoy, and then we move on to something else. So that's the three modes of material nature. Mm-hmm. They're always going like you see a buffet, there's all different types of food. Well, I'll have some of this, I'll have some of that.
Yeah.
But it says that the conditioned soul never tires of this material nature. He's always wandering, you know. So mm-hmm. that's the description of the banyan tree. We have to understand the tree and, you know, deal with it.
We sometimes feel that we are happy and we are enjoying it. We sometimes get a feeling that I am happy, you know, or I have to do this much. You know, one of the examples I give is a person who is working hard and harder and harder, you know, like Prabhupada says, running like an ass. And he works because he feels that if I have more money, more of this, I'll be happier. And then, but he himself is not able to enjoy any of whatever he has acquired. Others are enjoying it. And the person who has worked so hard, when he sees that all he has worked for, others are really throwing it away, it gives him more distress, it makes him more unhappy. So that happiness which we might get by acquiring all those material possessions is very, very temporary. There's another example which is very relevant in today's situation is of technology. Now, you know, a new cell phone comes and a youngster comes to his parents and says, I will be happy only when I have that phone. You know, I have a i7 which is no good. I need i8 or ix, whatever, iPhone X. And without that, my life is of no use. And, you know, he uses his own techniques to blackmail the parents and so on. And parents eventually, you know, somehow collect that money and give it to, buy a cell phone, i8 or iPhone X for their son and give it to him. And he's very happy and he goes around and shows it to his friends. And then in a week's time, a new model comes. So that happiness which was there was now no more there because his new phone has come and he's hankering for the new phone. So the happiness which we are getting by acquiring these material possessions is really very, very temporary.
Yes, Prabhupada says it's flickering by nature.
Yes.
The mode of passion is always hankering and lamenting, hankering for what we don't have and lamenting for what we've lost.
What we lost, yes. Sometimes the other thing which I read was that also Srila Prabhupada says that these kind of things can be cause of our miseries. If we don't have them, we are better off sometimes. So once we reach that level, then we pray differently.
Prabhupada was saying that as far as wealth goes, he says you may acquire so much wealth, but then somebody might try to kidnap your children and then you have to pay the ransom. I don't know if you've heard that. It was in one of his purports.
Yeah.
So it's volatile by nature, so everybody wants to control it. Mm-hmm. So it's always, you know, it's there, but people are always hankering for it. And Prabhupada also said, the money's there, you just have to know how to grab. Money's the honey, he said.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Anything else? Thank you. You want to last word? Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.